Matthew 16, starting in, Pastor Deborah, Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. Back in the day, you would say, turn your Bibles to, and you would hear the pages. I hear some pages, but so turn your Bible app to Matthew 16. If you don't have a paper Bible, you need to have one. God forbid the day that all electronics and all these smartphones just go out. Then what we gonna do, y'all? So you always need to have one around. You need to have one around. Amen. In Matthew 16, starting at verse 13, it says this. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, but others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? He's giving them this. They're now having a revelation test. Say a revelation test. They're having a revelation test here. He says, Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. He's saying, you didn't get this on your own. You couldn't even have imagined it. He says, but my Father who is in heaven, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, will not overpower it. I will give you keys. Say keys. I will give you keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. He says, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Keys speak of access. For Peter, in this moment, I believe what he's saying to him is, I'm giving you access, I'm giving you keys, access to see things in the spirit realm. To see things in the spirit realm. He's saying, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father did. And with that, I'm going to give you keys, because the thing he recognized about Peter was his sensitivity to spiritual things. And then go to Daniel. Let me just see here in Daniel where I want to start. Let's see. Okay, so just follow along with me. I need to read a little bit of this for context, okay? You all like reading the Bible, don't you? All right, then just stay with me. Now, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. And his dream, his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king gave orders to call in the magicians, say magicians, the conjurers, say conjurers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before him. The king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit was anxious to understand the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell the dream to your servants, and we will declare the interpretation. The king replied to the Chaldeans, the command from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you will be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be made a rubbish heap. But if you declare the dream and its interpretation, you will receive from me gifts and reward and great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream and its interpretation. Thank you, Pastor. They answered, I'm sorry, chapter 2, what did I say? I just said, see, I thought we was a prophetic house. I thought y'all just, I just thought y'all knew where to go. I'm sorry. Pastor Deborah, you didn't catch that either? Well, let's pause for a moment and pray right now, because I'm just. So much for. What'd you say? You said, get your coat. Yeah, give me a. Yeah, that's good. Anybody? No, just. It's all right, Pastor Nina. It's all right. I see you. All right, so. But y'all heard what I said, so y'all were following along. Okay, so I can keep going. All right. So he tells them, if you can tell me what the dream was and interpret the dream, then I'm going to give you some good stuff. Verse 7. Everybody say verse 7? All right, we're all together now. You can follow along. They answered a second time. The king says, let the king tell the dream to the servants, and we will declare the interpretation. The king replied, I know for certain that you are bargaining for time. Inasmuch as you have seen that the command from me is firm. And if you do not make the dream known to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the situation is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream that I may know that you can declare to me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, There is not a man on earth who can declare the matter for the king, inasmuch as no king or ruler has ever asked anything like this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult, and there is no one else who could declare it to the king except gods, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh. Mm-hmm. Because of this, the king became indignant and very furious and gave orders to destroy all wise men of Babylon. So the decree went forth, and the wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. So you do remember, Daniel was a part of this group. Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. You know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were a part of this group. Because of this, the king became indignant and furious and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Verse 14, then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he said to Arioch, the king's commander, for what reason is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, about the matter, so that they might request compassion from God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. For the next few moments, I want to talk to us about walking in wisdom, revelation, and insight. Walking in wisdom, revelation, and insight. We as believers, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. But unfortunately, we are subject to many of the things that happen in the world. We are impacted by some of the decisions that are being made, some of the decisions that have been made. And in part, we need to own the fact that we've never, I won't say never, but we have not done well to get in our place so that we are able to operate and able to bring wisdom, revelation, and insight into all matters. The word revelation, wisdom, the word wisdom speaks of the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships. It has the ability to discern what's best in any given situation, wisdom. Revelation, the act of revealing or communicating divine truth. Revelation, something that is revealed by God to humans. Revelation, the act of revealing to view or making known. Revelation, something that is revealed, especially an enlightening or astonishing disclosure. I know I said those fast, and I know, Pastor Deborah, you didn't get any of that, but that's okay. We're good. I'm just trying to lay a foundation to some of the things I want to say to you this morning. Insight, the power, act, or ability of seeing into a situation. Anybody this morning in need of wisdom? Anybody this morning in need of revelation? Anybody this morning in need of insight? I am. And I know that you are too. It is the desire of God that He would work through the people of God in any given situation to bring wisdom, revelation, and insight, to bring the answers, to be the answers. There's so much that's out there right now that's really not God. But I need to tell you, that's going to change real soon. There's going to be the emergence of those who really are backed by God. I'm talking about backed by God because they're not just saying something that they want to make be God. They're saying it because He said it first. And I want you to understand something about this operating in the prophetic and operating apostolically and being able to speak into situations. God has blessed our house with incredible gifts. And yet I want you to know that God is not obligated to back anything that He hasn't said. God is not obligated to back anything that He hasn't shown you. Jesus said, I only do that which I see the Father do, which means I'm not doing anything on my own. And so there's coming a defining moment for the church where God begins to move. Here's the thing. A lot of times you think God's going to move people out the way. He's not going to do that. He's just going to raise the bar. Now, I need you to understand this. And that's why it's important for us to get it. It's important for you and I to recognize that just because you have a platform, just because you have so many likes, just because you have so many friends on social media, just because you have certain gifts that draw people, doesn't necessarily mean that God is backing it. And what I sense and see, and I do have a sense of knowing, is that just like when God sent Moses to Egypt to talk to Pharaoh, Moses had the backing of God because God said it first. Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses didn't take it upon himself. He went and said exactly what God told him to say. When he asks you what by what authority, you say, I am sent me. And then what we see is Moses begins to walk out and God begins to work to establish through Moses his authority. And so then all the plagues begin to happen. But there is, just like with Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, just like they were in the company of magicians, conjurers, and sorcerers, so was Moses. Because when Moses would do something, they would show up and do the same thing, only it was demonic. It was evil. It wasn't God. And here's the thing about our God. The Word of God says He is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come unto repentance. You see, God lets it go to the last minute. He'll let it go to the last seconds. But when He says enough is enough, when the magicians were working their arts, their secret arts, and doing all the things that Moses was doing, He could have killed them. But that wouldn't settle what God is establishing. See, God is not one to bully people into believing in Him. I'm going to make you like me. I'm going to make you love me. He doesn't work that way. So what He did then is the same thing we see happening here with Daniel. He just simply raised the bar. So when Moses went in and said, I'm here to tell you, God said, let the people go. Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. Now, the other part of that is Pharaoh wouldn't let him go because God hardened his heart, so he wouldn't let him go. Listen, y'all, God's in charge, though men may say not so. God is in charge. Think about that. That means at some point Pharaoh was ready to let him go. He said, oh, no. No, you ain't going to let him go yet, because I need to make sure this is done. See, it's not going to be within your power. It's going to be mine. I'm a take you to the mat to the nth degree, and you will let him go when I say. But what he does is he raises the bar. So when Moses goes in and he smites the ground and it turns into pestilence and gnats and everything, it's all over the place, and the magicians with their secret arts try to do the same thing, they can't do it. They go to God, or they go to Pharaoh and say, who was their God? They go to Pharaoh and say, we perceive this is the finger of God. Meaning, we can't do that. And they couldn't do anything after that. I'm talking about walking in wisdom, revelation, and insight. I'm talking about being backed by God because He said it first. You see, the bar is about to be raised because, you see, we went through this last election with some high-profile prophets saying some things, thus saith the Lord. The Lord came and told me, and it didn't happen. Now, you got to own that. And some of the prophets did own it. Others didn't. Others tried to say, well, you know, the election got stolen. He really is still the, wait a minute. He's still the president before God. He's still the president in heaven. What Bible are you reading? No, I'm talking about, this is foolishness. Maybe I've been gone too long because I'm telling you, I'm feeling it right now. God is raising the bar. And there's coming a time when those who will speak only that which he has already said first. You see, that's the point that Jesus was making to Peter. Read the text. Whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. What he is doing is giving him the keys, giving him access to the revelation of what God has done so that it can be spoken into time and space. God will not invade us, but he will work through us. And so there is the need to walk in wisdom, revelation, and insight. I believe in the power of declaration and the power of decreeing. But you must know this, decreeing is agreeing with and speaking what God has already said and done in the realm of the spirit. Yes. Our God is not a cosmic bellhop that you say something and he's bouncing all around eternity trying to make it happen, dispatching angels over here and angels over here. No, there is a place of relationship that you and I are having the opportunity to step into that causes us to be able to stand with a sense just like Daniel. When Daniel said, we all about to be taken out here. Let me talk to him. And he goes to his friends. You see, in this place of wisdom, revelation, insight. Know this, it's not out of isolation. You've heard me make this statement before. Revelation in isolation is dangerous. Because you can have the greatest revelations, but if it's all you by yourself, and you don't have those around you who you can be in relationship with and be accountable to, you are most vulnerable. You need to be willing to be with some folk who really do know you. That knows your breath stinks sometimes. Now, I'm just talking about a place of intimacy. I'm talking about a place of knowing people where you can say, hey, let me give you a mint. Oh, that, yeah, but we're good. Keep talking. The politeness of Christianity will not get it done. The politeness of Christianity will not get it done. Every believer has the right and authority to declare and decree in this realm what has been revealed to them by Holy Spirit, that which has already been established in the Word of God and established in his kingdom. See, where the bar is being raised is some folk are going to begin to talk a whole lot less because they recognize what they've been saying hadn't really been God at all. All prophetic words and prophetic ministry is not nice stuff. It's just not, it's not warm, fuzzy stuff. It's not the houses and the cars and the bank accounts. And some of it's going to hit, and it's going to hit hard. You got hatred in your heart. You got unforgiveness in your heart. You're doing things you need to stop doing. The bar is being raised. It's what we call that next level. It's the next level. What God did for Moses was, okay, enough of that. I'm taking it to another level. I'm taking it to the next level. And it shifted things. We must steward the fact that just as the Word was created, the world was created by the spoken Word. The same creative power, creative Word, is working inside of every believer. When we say, call those things that be not as though they were, we're not talking about just making something up. We're saying, I've looked into eternity and I've seen it. So I'm calling those things that be not here as though they were because I see them there. That's the power. That's the creative power of bringing into time and space that which God has already done. We are co-laborers with Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ. We have the same creative power, the same creative Word working inside of us. It's through His church, His body, that He now speaks. There is the opportunity for you and I to walk and live in a heightened place of wisdom, revelation, and insight. But with that wisdom, revelation, and insight, it's going to come a responsibility to steward it well. Some of us will talk a whole lot less because you'll recognize it's no longer about your opinion. It's what has He said. I've got an opinion just like everybody else. But I'm also learning my opinion doesn't matter right about now. I need to be able to. See, that's what Jesus was asking them, saying, when He said, who do you think I am? I want your opinion. They were all over the place. But for whatever reason, Peter, as rambunctious as he was and just, you know, ready to go to fight and do everything, for whatever reason, he was the one that tapped into the Spirit. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. But my Father, I give you keys to the kingdom of heaven, access to see things in the spirit realm and then speak them into existence. To be able to see things in the realm of the spirit and then speak the answer to the situation. We are and will move more intentionally into spaces, and some of you right now are in those spaces, in those places where God is requiring of you to assess the situation, accept the challenge that the situation presents, access the power of the kingdom. You see, that's what Daniel did. We in trouble, y'all. We all about to be executed because we lumped in with these fake folk. We all about to. Daniel said, I don't think so. So can I read a little more? That was rhetorical. Don't answer. Daniel 2, verse 19. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel. Now I want you, let me go back. I don't want to miss this point. Go back to 17. Then Daniel went to his house, informed his friends, so they might, all four of them might, request compassion from God of heaven concerning this mystery so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed. They got together. I want to tell you that there is wisdom and revelation and insight that comes out of coming together. There is wisdom, revelation, and insight that comes out of our coming together even now. Just like that, this morning has just been an incredible morning of God's presence. How could we not gather? How could we not want to keep gathering to hear and to see? I needed it too. You just don't know. Quit isolating yourself. particularly in this season. Quit isolating yourself. Don't let the enemy cause you to be offended, be hurt, or wounded, and you end up somewhere all by yourself, and then he tricks you into thinking you're more spiritual than everybody else. Oh, God's just leading me to do this. No, that ain't God. I'll just say that ain't my God. Because he created his body to be connected. Daniel didn't run off to some cave or somewhere by himself. I got to go get with my boys. I need to tell y'all what's going on so that we can pray. Verse 19, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in the night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. For wisdom and power belong to him. Wisdom and power belongs to God. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what it is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give you thanks and praise. For you have given me wisdom and power. Even now, you have made known to me what we requested of you. See, sometimes the answer will come for you when we come together and we seek him together. For you have made known to us the king's matter. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and spoke to him as follows. Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king. I want you to notice something here, and this is something for you and I when I talk about walking in wisdom, revelation, and insight. And that is this. Opportunities will present themselves, and God's going to move you and I into key positions, key conversations, and it's about everybody in the room. It's about everybody, not just you, not just a few. Daniel didn't say, hey, me and my boys prayed. We got the answer. Now, what you want to do to the rest of them, you can do that. I don't like them anyway. They're not of our God anyway. That's not his business. Not your business. Not my business. You don't have to rebuke everything that really needs to be rebuked, even though you have the power to rebuke. Have you ever really read the passage of Paul and Silas in prison and how they got in prison? Y'all familiar with that? It's in Acts. I think it's chapter 16 or something. Acts. How did they end up in prison? Somebody. They cast a spirit of divination out. Yeah. But why did they cast the spirit of divination out? So you got to read the whole text, and you got to read a little deeper into the text. Paul was agitated. Paul was agitated. Paul wasn't like in the spirit. Paul was in his flesh. I'm just going to let that sit for a minute. Some of y'all need to listen to just think about that. Because maybe, just maybe, they weren't supposed to go to prison at all. Did God use it? Yes, he did. But it says Paul was agitated. It wasn't like, see, he wasn't backed by God, per se. He exercised the power and authority that he had. And there were consequences that came with it. He was moved by his emotions. Daniel goes and Daniel says, listen, we've got the answer. Tell them don't kill anybody. Well, maybe kill so-and-so because, you know, that one guy, yeah, you can take. No, no, Can't do that, y'all. We're talking about walking in wisdom, revelation, and insight. Some of your answers will come out of wisdom, revelation, and insight, but not you isolated. But it'll come from you getting in the company of those whom God has given you. Not the ones you want to be with. Okay. I'm going to look way up now. Because you see, the answer isn't always in the popular. My son Darwin, who I love dearly, who calls me dad, in one of his CDs he was writing and giving acknowledgments, he said, I want to acknowledge my spiritual father, my father, John W. Stevenson. He said, for so long, I was chasing the popular instead of accepting the predestined. Sometimes the answers that you want just aren't coming because you're not with the right folk. I'm talking about wisdom, revelation, and insight. Well, you know what? I'm going to pause right here and stop.